I wanted to share a story with you guys. So you guys know, right, that we have been in this series called New, where we've been looking at the life of who?
Paul.
There we go. Thank you. Look at that response from you guys. I'm so proud of you. Yeah, so we've been looking at the life of Paul, and it's been really, really interesting. So this is actually week number 8, believe it or not. So we've been looking at the life of Paul for the last 2 months, which has been just really cool to see. I hope you guys have learned a couple of things, and then I hope that Jesus just continues to kind of call you to look more like him as we dig into his word, especially looking at Paul's life, because I think his life is super encouraging, right? First couple of weeks, we looked at who he used to be, when he was known as a persecutor of the church. He was somebody who did not know Jesus, and he was all about stomping out the early church. He was all about that. He is there for the stoning of Stephen. Like, he is kind of enemy number one against the church, right? We looked at that. And then, in an amazing way, he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life is forever changed. He surrenders to this Jesus guy who he thought was actually dead, but he come to find out that he meets him, and he, in fact, is alive, which is what the guys who are starting the early church, like Peter and the apostles, these are the claims that they're making. And so Saul's mind is just, like, blown by the fact that, yes, this Jesus guy is alive. He gives his life. He says, I surrender to you. And he immediately begins going and teaching the gospel, the good news that the kingdom of God has indeed come and that Jesus is alive and that it's only through him we find salvation. And so he immediately becomes one of these key figures in the Bible. Like, whenever you open your Bible, you know that at least like 13 of the books in the New Testament that you have, that we hold in our hands today, are written by him. We looked at some of his journeys, the people that he encountered, the places that he traveled, the letters that he wrote, the way he wrote, the way that he interacted with people, and how we should try and model our lives after Paul, because he imitates Christ. And so it's this kind of pattern that we should follow in. And today we're going to talk about finishing well. So that's going to be kind of our overall theme for today is finishing well, because Paul writes about that a lot, and he is an amazing example of this. So whenever I was in seventh grade, we had just moved to a new school, and I was in Houston, Texas, super hot down there. It's like 99 bajillion percent humidity all the time, which means you walk out of your house, and you feel like you're like walking into a swimming pool. Like, just to like walk through the bus, you have to like do this. Like, through the moisture that's in the air. You feel like you're swimming. It's disgusting. It's hot a lot, and other than that, that's really all I remember, is that Houston was hot and humid and, like, sticky, and I felt gross everywhere that I went. But I was in seventh grade, and I decided this year, that the seventh grade year, I was going to run. I was going to join track. So I had already done, like, the cross-country thing, still pretty new to the school, and, like, nobody knew who I was. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to join track. Like, all my friends are doing it, everybody that I know. Like, the whole school pretty much does track because there's no other sport happening at that time. Would you guys agree? How many of you are in track because there's nothing else to do? A couple people. You're really like, yeah, I did that. I signed up. So, like, everybody signed up for track. And I remember we went through all of our practices, and the first race day came around. And so, me being the seventh grade kid that I was, I signed up for two races. And one was the 2 mile, which is 8 laps around the track. And then the other one is a mile. So, the 2 mile happens at the very beginning of the track meet, and then like 6 hours later, the mile happens. So, you like run, and then you have to sit around for 6 hours, and then you wait to compete again, and it's terrible. But I remember I got so excited, like, I got new track shoes. So that I could run this race. Like, your shoes have spikes in them, and it's this crazy thing, and I'm like, whoa, this is nuts. I felt really important. Like, how many of you get new shoes like that, and you just, like, open up the box, and, like, they smell good? How many of you love the smell of new shoes? There we go. Okay, I'm not alone in this. Thank you. I'm not that weird. New shoes smell amazing. So I got my new track spikes. I put those on. I had the uniform on, and I'm, like, ready for this race. And so they line us up, and I'm like little seventh grade me. I don't know why I'm trying to get smaller, because I literally look exactly the same then as I do now. So there's no difference. Just pretend me, but no, there's no difference. It's just me. So I line up, and the gun goes off, and we start, and we're going along, and I'm like, oh, man, yeah, okay, I feel okay. Like, I'm feeling pretty good. But I remember there was this one kid from this other school that, like, he took off. And even in the middle of the race, I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, he's really fast. Like, and he was so far ahead of me. He was probably a good half a lap ahead of me. And we get, like, a mile into the race, so we're about halfway done. And I remember my dad was yelling at me on the side of the track, because that's what he did. He yelled a lot from the track. And I remember him looking at me and being like, he's like, he pointed at the kid in front of me and goes, he's getting tired. And I'm like, so am I. And so I'm like, well, that doesn't mean anything to me, Dad. Like, we're all tired. I'm running 2 miles. This is horrible. And so I'm running, and I come around again, like another lap through, and he goes, no, he's slowing down. I'm like, I feel like I am too. But I did notice that around that time that he wasn't as far away as he was before. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm catching up, I don't know. And slowly but surely, we come around, we got like 2 laps left, and he's a little bit closer. My dad's screaming in my face. I have no idea what's happening. I'm just trying to breathe air at this point. And we get around, and then I realize that there's 1 lap left, and he is in, like, he's within range. And I'm just like, I think I can do this. And so I was like, through my dad's yelling and screaming at me, I was emboldened with confidence. And I remember I ended up chasing him down, and like there was like 100 meters left, whatever, and I sprinted past him, and everybody was like, ah, rah! And I beat him like right at the end. And it was like the best, like one of the best moments of my life up to that point, because I was just this like dweeby kid who hung out at school, and then all of a sudden was like, that dude's fast. Like, and so I immediately became kind of like known, and people knew who I was, and because I finished well in this race. And on the flip side, I finished well, and a kid that I beat, he did not. And so, but here's where I'm going with it. I'm not trying to be like, well, look at me, I'm amazing. I got so excited about this that I then ran the 2 mile the next week, and I went out, and I was all alone, and I'm like, man, I'm doing great. I'm running so well right now. I'm the best runner in the whole wide world. And slowly but surely, this kid behind me, I don't know, his dad must have been yelling at him or something. He slowly caught me, and he passed me like within the last lap. And I remember finishing, and I was just like crushed. Like this high that I'd been riding on the week before, I was like, yeah, I'm a great runner. This is awesome. I'm really good at this. The next week, immediately all came crashing down because I did not finish well. I got really proud of myself, and I got like, I was just too into my abilities. And I remember him running past me, and it was just like this, you see him coming by like in my peripheral vision, and it was just like this whoosh. And it was like, because I could barely breathe still at this point. It's like, come back. And I just remember him running by, and I finished, and I still like, I got second place, and all people were like, that's really great, you got second place, that's a good job. But I just like, I was crushed in this moment. Because I knew that I didn't lose because I was tired. I lost because I just didn't finish well. Like, if I would have continued the pace that I was on, which I think that I could have, then I would have won and everything would have been fine. But the fact was that I just did not finish well. Like, I just kind of, I slowed down, I became lazy in my stride, and I just, like, checked out mentally. And this dude, he beat me at the end, and I was just like, ah, what just happened? And so I think that the idea of finishing well is important to us. I know it was for me, and in the same way, maybe not in actual racing, maybe that's not what you guys do, but even if you play sports or you're in band or you're in choir, like, you don't go through something just to like lose at the end. Does that make sense? You guys, like, you don't practice for a band concert, like, so that you can play, like, the first 6 minutes of the song, and then the last minute is just like, I don't know, we didn't practice that part. I don't know what happened. Like, that's not what you do. You don't practice a piece of music for a choir, and, like, everybody's singing together, and then, like, for, like, the last minute, their director's just like, all right, just do whatever you want. Good luck. And you finish. Like, that's not what happens. Like, you practice to go from beginning to end. Like, so from start to finish, everything is, everything works together. Everything is flowing in the same way. Hey, can you guys stop talking? That'd be great. Thanks. You guys, right there. Cool. Yeah, thanks. So you practice to go from beginning to end and not, like, just kind of, like, at the end. And Paul writes about this. And so if you have your Bibles, like I said, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And so here is, here's what I'm going to read for us. I'm reading this out of the NIV today. I know. It's all right. It's okay. I'm reading this out of the NIV. And so if you have it on your phones or your Bibles, I would love for you to follow along. And so here's how I want us to look at this passage. Paul here is writing to a guy named Timothy, which is somebody who Paul really influenced, and he taught, and Timothy kind of like sat under Paul and just learned from him. He was basically a disciple of Paul. Like, Timothy learned from Paul. And the way that he writes this, even whenever I was reading it this week while I was like studying it, I imagined Paul writing this like to you guys, like to you sitting here in this room right now. Paul is writing this to you. Like, all scripture is important, and it is something that we should look at and say, man, God, what are you trying to teach me out of this today? And so I'm going to read it in that way as I go through this. I don't have it on the screen, but so it's just going to be in your Bibles if you have this. And if you don't have it, just listen and put yourself in a position where, man, like, this is being read to you. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. So he's writing this, like, you know about this. In the same way, we've studied Paul's life. So I read that, and it's like, yeah, that's us. Like, we know about Paul. We know about him. We've read about this. Yeah, persecutions and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So we're going to pause right there for just a second. So Paul is writing this to Timothy as encouragement. He says, hey, you know my life. You've seen and you have heard all of the things that have happened in and throughout my life, the places that I had visited, the persecutions I endured, right? Like, we looked at Paul's life. We saw how he gets thrown in jail all the time. And he's writing to Timothy, who's like, who potentially was present or even around for when some of these things were happening. And he's saying, you saw this happen. And he encourages him. Verse 13, I want us to really hone in on, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, verse 14, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. And so he's encouraging Timothy. He's saying, listen to me. Remember the things that you've learned. So even over the course of the last 8 weeks, remember the things that you've learned about Paul's life. What are some of the things that God has been trying to teach you? What are the things even in your heart that maybe the Holy Spirit has been pulling at you and saying, maybe this needs to be changed, or I want this part of your life. Would you surrender that to me? And maybe the last couple of weeks you've been wrestling with that, saying like, I don't know if I can give that to you, God. Like, I don't know if I can give that away. And you've been wrestling with these things. And Paul wants to encourage you, continue to be confident in the things that you've learned, because of the people that have taught it to you. And so whether that's been me or your small group leaders or your parents, like continue to be confident in what you have learned from the scriptures. So verse 16, he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Like this is why we open scripture. This is why we open God's word every single Sunday morning, whether it's in here or mic from the front. That's why we come here on Sundays, so that we can dig into scripture and we can be encouraged, we can be taught by God's word, and that we can be changed by it. I've said this a couple times throughout this series. Like the worst hobby that you can possibly have in the entire world is going to church. Like if this is just a hobby for you, like this is the lamest hobby you can possibly have is to go to church. Like if you're just looking for a hobby, like make sure that you and your parents like go buy a boat and you hang out on the lake. Like that's a fun hobby, like fishing and going out on a boat or like water skiing or like those are fun hobbies. Don't let Sunday morning be a hobby. Like don't let this just be something that you do. The hope is that we walk in here on Sunday mornings and we hear God's word and we leave here changed, empowered and excited to live our lives for Jesus because of what he's done for us. That's the hope. And so Paul's encouraging them in this. Man, he talks about that scripture is important. And so here we go. This is now chapter 4, verse 1. So in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. So now he turns, and not just encouraging, but he now begins, he says, this charge I give to you. This is like, do this thing. Pay attention and do this thing. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So he's calling Timothy, like, lead other people. Teach God's word. Preach the good news. Be patient with others. Give instruction, give encouragement, give rebuke. Do these things in love. Like, do these things so that the body is built up. And the reason for this, the reason that he's calling us, man, we need to make sure that we are leaving this place on Sunday morning and going out and teaching others about who Jesus is because of this, right? Verse 3, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. He's saying, eventually, people are just going to place people over them who just tell them everything that they want to hear. Like, people, even now, will go to places and find people who just, like, who never challenge them, who never call them out on their stuff. Like, they're just like, I just want to sit here and feel really good about myself. And everything's fine, and okay, everybody go home. And don't let this change you. Like, right, because if we let Scripture change us, if we honestly let the Holy Spirit speak to us and move in our hearts, it can be really challenging at times because he does, like, Jesus gets into our personal space. Like, there are parts of our lives where it's just like, I don't want to give that part away, or I'm okay with this, like, sin thing that I have in my life. You know, maybe this isn't so bad. Like, God, can you just, like, all the other stuff, you can have that, but this here, like, this is mine, and I don't want to have to worry about giving this away, because if I tell somebody about this, it's going to really hurt, and it's going to be, like, really, it's just, ugh. Like, and it's one of those kinds of things. And he's saying, no, you need to be around people who are going to challenge you. That's the whole reason why we do small groups. We want to get into a community of people, these smaller groups of us who get to hang out, can encourage each other, not only encourage one another, but challenge each other and say, man, I hope, how are you living? How are you doing? How can I help you? And even in the way that we can, in love, talk to each other and say, man, I see this in you, and I think maybe this is something that you need to work on, or because I, to be honest with each other, we're called into that. We're called into that. Verse 4. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. He's saying, yeah, keep yourself in the fight. Continue to work at what you've been called to do. Which is what? For us here, it's what Jesus calls us to do. It's what he calls every believer to do, which is to go and to teach and to preach his good news, to tell other people that the kingdom is near and that through Jesus we can be changed and rescued. And if every single person that we know is changed and rescued by Jesus Christ, this whole entire world looks 100% different than what it does now. That's been what we've been talking about. Keep doing what you're doing. Do not give up. Run the race. Continue in what you're doing. The way that you started needs to be the way that you continue to carry yourself through. And then here we go, verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Paul is saying, my time here is almost done. I've been running and chasing after this. I've been working hard after this. But my time's almost done. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Man. I want to be that. I hope that I can say the same thing about my life. This should be encouraging and challenging to us. Because right now it's like, okay, yeah, Paul's at the end of his life, and you think to yourself, man, I'm like 12. Like, I'm 13. I feel like I've got a long time left. So, and the easy thing for us to do is to say, I'm 13, I'm 14, I've got like 80 years. I've got however long, like, to figure this out. I've got a really, really long time, you know, eventually to really start to change some of those things in my life, or to eventually, you know, maybe I'll get serious with Jesus later, and I'll do that later. And here's the thing, is that what I do know is that in a race, if the gun goes off and you start the race off by walking, it's gonna take a lot more effort to finish well in the end. Or even like the gun goes off and instead of running like that way, you turn around and you run that way. Like it would be difficult to then turn around and say, okay, now I'm gonna go. My point is this: don't waste your life now. Don't waste it on things that aren't gonna matter for God's kingdom. The fact is that I know some of you are sitting here like, yeah, don't waste it on what matters, like school. I don't want to waste my life on school. But here's the thing. School is where you're at right now. And so it's in that day in and day out of going to school and being a part of different things and growing up and learning and growing, in that, do not waste those opportunities to bring the kingdom into your school. I've been talking about this like all the time the last couple of weeks. Because I think it becomes so apparent whenever bad things start happening, it becomes even more apparent how much the gospel is needed in the space that we live in day in and day out. It's so important. And Paul is talking here. He's saying, don't waste where you're at right now. Like, be consistent. Run the race well from now until the very end. Don't say, I'll get to it later and start later on in life. Because here's the thing, we're not promised tomorrow. Like, the end of your race might be like next week. And that's terrifying. But at the same time, we've been placed here and we're given a purpose and a mission to be Jesus to others around us. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. He's saying, this isn't just for me, this is for all of us. Paul talks of this race of life, that as we go through our daily walk with Jesus, we need day in and day out, continue to seek him and let him change you. So here's what I know. I know that whenever I spend time away from Jesus, like even 2-3 weeks at a time, Like if I've just been irresponsible, like, and I haven't been reading or I haven't been spending time in prayer or just like, just even talking with him, like my whole attitude looks different. Who I am as a person, it's like, it's totally changed. It's different. I feel like I'm more easily prideful or selfish. I fall into like lying or those things way easier whenever I'm not consistently seeking after Jesus. And so I want to encourage you guys, the race is not about just like getting towards like the very, and then sprinting as fast as you can at the end. One of my favorite things about teaching like how to run well to some people, like people come up and ask me, they're like, hey, how do I run this race well? How do I do this? And one kid that I talked with in terms of like a 2 mile race, he goes, oh no, this is how you run long distance. This is how you do it. You run really, 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 really slow until the last 100 meters, and then you point your fingers, and you look really intense, and you run like this. And I was like, how was that again? He goes, you point your fingers, and you look really intense, and you run like this. And I was like, all right, cool. You should try that, and let me see how it goes. So, and he did. He totally did. The 2 mile race started, and he goes out like this. And like, by the time he got to the last 100 meters where he could do this, everybody else was done. There was nobody left. So, the point, one of the biggest things that I like to teach people about running and like is consistency. Like, you need to find a consistent pace to push yourself to be able to run the whole race well, and then when it comes time to end, you finish well. Even when you feel like you have nothing left to give. My hope is that I live my entire life giving pieces of my life away for the gospel and for Jesus' kingdom, so that even at the end, whenever I'm like 85 and like walking around with a cane and I'm exhausted, I can still be like, all right, this is the last push, I'm doing it, we're going for it. Like, I know that at the end of my life, I can say that I gave everything that I had for the kingdom. I want to meet Jesus and say, I gave everything away for you because you gave your life for me and you changed my life completely. How could I not give away everything that I had? How could I not? I don't want to be the Christian who runs like this his whole life and then gets to the very end of my life and goes like this. I don't want that. I don't want that to be my life. And so I'm encouraged by the people around me, by my friends who also love Jesus. Some of you who are in this room, like, I'm encouraged by you. And in the way that you follow Jesus and that we just continue to encourage each other and help one another, like, just give our lives away for the kingdom. And I hope that for you students who are in here, that you have those friends who will encourage you and point you to Jesus, and who will, even in points in the race when you're tired, they'll put their arm around you and say, hey, let me carry you for this section of the race. Let me help you. Let me be the one to exert my energy and let me walk with you. Let me help carry you, because the race of life is not something that we've been created to do alone. Honestly, I went from, in my life as a seventh grader, I went from like the best week of my life of running that race and like ending, and it was this whole big deal, and all of a sudden, like, the track team, like, they knew who I was. I had gone from this like no-name kid, and people were like, oh my gosh, wow, Adam, he's actually a good runner. I never would have thought that, because he's just this small kid. Like, he's pretty dorky, and I didn't know he could run. Like, that's cool. And it was like this moment for me where I felt like I'd found part of my identity in who I was in running. And the very next week, I went from this super high point to this like super low point. Because now I put everybody's expectations on my back and all these things about who I thought that I was. And when I didn't finish well, I just like, it was terrible. I felt like garbage. Part of that was me placing my identity in my race. Like, nobody cares about it was just, in the long term, that did not have much bearing on my life. But across the span of your life, the race that you run day in and day out, you just need to wake up and ask yourself, am I going to follow Jesus today? Is what I'm doing right now beneficial for the kingdom of God. I would challenge you guys this week, every day that you wake up, you just say, am I going to follow Jesus today? Am I going to give him my life today? Am I going to do what he asks? And there's sometimes where you may have to check in with yourself, like during the day, and say, okay, it's lunchtime. How have I been doing? And check in with God and just say, God, what would you have me do today? How would you have me follow you better this afternoon? What would you have me do? We've looked at the life of Paul and how he gave his life away to the cause of Christ, how he went from being this person that nobody thought that God would be able to use. Like, the early church looked at Paul and they were like, the best thing that God can do is to wipe that guy out and to just get him out of here, like to end his life. There's nothing good that can come from that. But God looked at Paul in with compassion, mercy, and love. Even in his anger at the way that he was sinning, he still said, the way that I'm going to fix this is by rescuing him. And in the same way, God looks at you this morning. And even though there may be people who look at you and say, nothing good can come from this, what could God do to use them? Maybe you ask that question of yourself. You're just like, I'm just me. What could God possibly do with my life? What could he possibly do? And I would point you to Paul's life. I would point you to his life and say, what can't he do? What can't he do? Jesus wants to use you in the same ways that he uses Paul. Ways that he uses people that you know who have changed your life. He wants to use you in the same way that he used my life. Like, I get up here every Sunday morning in front of you guys, seriously, and I'm just me. Like, I'm Adam Crawford. I'm nothing special. I'm just me. And God used, like, somehow, God uses things that come out of my mouth to teach you things. Like, that blows my mind. That is insane to me. That's crazy. What's happening? And it's amazing to me what God is able to do with people who are just willing to say, here I am, God. My life, it's yours. You got it. Take me, use me. I want to finish this thing well. I want to run my race for you. I want to give my life away to you. How can you run your race this week? In what ways can you give your life away? In what ways is God calling you, even right now this morning, things that maybe you need to give away or things in your life that you know are keeping you from running your race well? People in your life or things that you do or things that you participate in, stuff that's happening that goes on every single day, maybe that's keeping you from knowing Jesus more or giving your heart away to him. What are those things? And begin to work on those, because he wants to rescue you from those things, and he wants all of you. Let me pray for us.